If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. It's Tuesday, November the 4th, 2025, and I have a gentleman in studio with me to discuss the issues of the day. One of them is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Chris, who are we having on at 10:30?
At 10:30, we're going to be talking with a friend of AFR and certainly a name and a voice people will recognize from his show on AFR, that being Todd Nettleton, host of the Voice of the Martyrs radio broadcast that we have on the weekends. And he's going to be talking with us about the situation that our brothers and sisters in Christ in Nigeria are facing. For those not following the news, it's really terrible. It's a terrible time in Nigeria to be a Christian. But yeah, these people are boldly proclaiming their faith and they're dying for it.
So we're going to talk to Todd Nettleton of Voice of the Martyrs about the situation in Nigeria. Nigeria, as we mentioned yesterday, is the largest country in Africa. A lot of you listening to me right now maybe know somebody in Africa, in Nigeria. Are you Christian missionaries in Nigeria? Whatever the case may be, Nigeria is, well known around the world for as a major country on the continent of Africa. So we're going to talk about what's going on there with Todd Nettleton, and a lot of other topics to talk about today, including what happened, overnight?
Yes. Dick Cheney, former vice president, two-time vice president, passed away at the age of 84. We have this story on our website, AFN.net. The family says Mr. Cheney died due to complications of pneumonia and cardiac and vascular disease. And we have a lengthy statement from the family there on AFN.net. We also have some audio from people remembering their time having worked with Vice President Cheney. For example, former White House Press Secretary Dana Perino called into Fox and made some comments on the passing of Vice President Cheney. Clip 12.
I also loved watching him in meetings. There's this really funny story. If I have a second, I'll tell you. So yeah, in the Oval Office, where I sat, I had line of sight with President Bush during these policy time meetings. And that's when the ultimate decisions are being made after staffers have hashed it out. And Dick Cheney was always sitting to the president's right. And the president and I would kind of laugh because sometimes you would think that Dick Cheney was asleep in the meetings and his head was nodding. And President Bush would look and wink at me and do a little tilt of his head. And then inevitably, 2 minutes later, Dick Cheney would ask the most incisive question that was clear that he was listening to everything the entire time. And the other thing I would say is one time when my dad came to the White House, which was a big deal for me, and the president made it a big deal, but because of that Wyoming connection, Dick Cheney really made it special and easy.
That is, who was that?
Well, former White House Press Secretary Dana Perino.
Talking about Vice President Dick Cheney, who passed away last night at the age of 84. You don't remember Vice President Cheney, do you, Wesley?
I don't. I'm pulling up Wikipedia now. Yeah.
Well, Fred and I do. Well, we can tell you all about it.
Yeah.
He served in Congress for a long time as the representative from Wyoming. I'm talking about the House of Representatives. And then he became George Bush's vice president. And he was served in that position for 8 years. He really had no desire to run for president, though, did he?
I don't remember any. He was defense secretary one time. He served in both Bush administrations.
That's right.
And, of course, he was vice president. He was pivotal, during the Iraq War.
Yeah.
He was more, and it's kind of interesting. The headline from the AP this morning, one of the most powerful vice presidents in U.S. history. He did not follow the script that, you know, the vice president, he's named vice president, then he goes off and does other things.
He was like a co-president, quite frankly.
He was. And that's what Dana Perino was referring to there, kind of laughing a little bit that she and President Bush used to note that maybe Dick Cheney, is he falling asleep? No, he wasn't. He was thinking about what was being said.
That's what I tell Allison I'm doing in church.
It happens to the best
of us. Yeah, when I get the elbow in the ribs about don't go to sleep in church.
I'm thinking about
what the pastor
answer.
Just said. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Deeply.
Yeah. Listen, Dick Cheney was a great American and served our country in many capacities. I said he was patriotic, I was sad to learn that he had passed away, but he was 84 years old.
Yes.
And
I was not aware of his health problems that go back many, many years with his heart. He had difficulties through the years. You would not know it by the pace he kept while he was vice president.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, what were a couple of the things that he was remembered for, good or bad?
Well, he was, he shot somebody one time.
He did.
Hunting.
On a hunting trip.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You ever done that, Weston?
I've never done that.
Okay.
It's called gun safety.
Well, thankfully nobody was seriously hurt. No. It was, they were bird hunting or something. You remember that, Fred? Something like that?
And
that's easy. When they're in bird hunting, there's bird multiple hunting. Shotguns and multiple people, and that I can see how that could happen and it not be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But on a serious note, I guess he would best remember for the things Fred's mentioned. Secretary of Defense under George Herbert Walker Bush. Mm-hmm. That's George Bush's daddy. And then when George W. Bush became president, he served as VP for two terms. So 8 years in the White House, and he was more like a chief of staff.
Yeah,
he wasn't a traditional vice president traveling around to funerals and aspirations to be president one day. He was basically, I think he was older. He was about 5 years older than George W. Bush. So he was basically his right hand man, I guess you could say.
Kind of person you would want as your 2IC.
Yeah. All right, next story, Chris.
Well, it's Election Day in various parts of the country, and big races that AFN.net is watching involve New York City's mayoral race and the gubernatorial elections in Virginia and New Jersey.
Who's running for mayor in New York, Chris?
Zohran Mamdani.
I'm sorry, Chris. Who did you say?
You knew the answer.
Zohran Mamdani.
I think you just wanted to hear.
I do. Right. The way Chris says his name.
I think just, anybody can say it, but like, a little bit of.
It's like a superhero or something.
Yeah. Or a supervillain, depending on the person you ask.
Well, that's true. Supervillain. It's a big, everybody's watching to see what happens. And Zohran Mamdani is a socialist / communist.
Yes.
Unapologetically so. And he's going to... He would be the mayor of the largest city in America if he wins today.
Yes, and it looks like he will win based on the polling. For example, he's leading the two challengers in today's election. Former Democrat turned independent governor Andrew Cuomo is running as mayor of New York City. He's in second place, and then Republican Curtis Silva is in third. If Silva had dropped out, one might make the argument that Cuomo has a real chance here of defeating Zohran Mamdani in the mayoral election. But it looks like, due to things like exit polling and interviews and news articles and all kinds of things, that Zohran Mamdani will probably be the mayor of New York City come tomorrow, barring some sort of comeback from Cuomo here in the last minute. What's interesting about this race is that President Trump has intervened here and has actually endorsed Governor Cuomo, or at least told people in New York City to vote Cuomo. Mm-hmm. Curtis Silva doesn't have a chance of winning, Trump says, so vote Cuomo. And I have some audio of Cuomo talking about this, saying, look, Trump doesn't support me. He just doesn't like Zohran Mamdani. Clip 5.
How's it feel to have Trump's endorsement just a couple of hours ago?
Yeah. President Trump doesn't support me. He opposes Mamdani, right? He believes that Mamdani is an existential threat to New York. He believes he's a communist. He believes he'll bankrupt New York. So he opposes Mondami. He doesn't support me. It's the opposition of Mondami.
Well, that's true.
It's very true.
It's true, but that is a great political answer, because Cuomo is trying to tell people, I'm not tied to Donald Trump. Because Cuomo at this point...
That's not a winner in the city of New York.
No. he is hoping that... Cuomo is still hoping that he'll get the vote of traditional Democrats in New York. And he's hoping he's going to persuade some Republicans not to vote for Sliwa. So he's hoping he can put all that together to perhaps win over Mamdani. We'll wait and see.
Well, leading up until today... or over the weekend, I have tongue in cheek said, and I'm kind of pulling for Mondani just so they can get what they asked for, so to speak, and so that we can get the idea would be for me is that he would be able to implicate his plan, assuming he can. A lot of it's unconstitutional.
Impose his plan. Yeah.
Then we could see the ripple effect, and we can learn from it as a nation,
right?
Without having a general. However, over the weekend, I will say, though, I was talking to a friend of mine about this issue that we're talking about, and they came back and said, well, that could happen, or it could be like other parts. Michigan, where they've hijacked and there's no going back? But basically, I guess a flip side that could happen is Mondani wins. Is it Mamdani? Mamdani. Is I saying that correct? Mamdani wins. And then, we concede that ground to a different country, and you never go back.
Yeah. We'll find out what happens. But, yeah, it will be a study in communism, so to speak, if Mondami wins. And whether he can accomplish all the things he said he wants to do there in New York City, even as powerful as the mayor's office is, would remain to be seen. And also, what are the implications, ramifications of the housing market, for example, if it's true that, you know, a fifth of New Yorkers are planning to leave, should he get, maybe not a fifth, but whatever it is, it's a substantial number.
Yep.
Planning to leave if he gets elected, because he is as far left as you can get. This is what this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's very soft on crime, very anti-police, believes in free everything for everybody by taxing the rich. And
defund the police means no police.
Yeah, he's been on that bandwagon too. Now, he wouldn't say that today.
Well, he would come back when he got some pushback.
Yeah. All right, so we'll watch and see what happens. I'm glad that race will be over today.
He's very anti-Israel too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, he has said that if Prime Minister Netanyahu arrives in New York, that he would arrest him on behalf of the world court.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's something.
I mean, he did say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one thing when we get passionate about something, both sides can be a little bit hyperbolic at times. Obviously, we've seen that. However, when he's a self-identified communist, none of us or anybody on our movement has to be hyperbolic about what he potentially could do when he's stated everything we've already said as part of his
mission. He's proud of it.
Yes.
I mean, he's proud of it. I mean, his far, 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 far left position. So.
You know, some candidates, you have to go look at where they give money to in order to uncover a few things.
Where they get money from, or where they get money from.
In this case, this is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But this is part of a bigger story, though, what's going on inside the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's been going on for how long? About probably 10 years?
Yeah, AOC, Bernie Sanders, I know he's not Democrat, but he votes with Democrats. Right. He is part of that radical left. We talk about the squad members, all of that sort of thing. And this is what your traditional Democrats are concerned about, the success. They're very concerned about the success of Mamdani in New York, because they see this element taking over. The traditional Democrats are very worried that this element is not going to go beyond New York City, and they're going to rope it. You know, you were talking about Minneapolis.
Seattle.
All of these are radical, radical lefts. They're all socialists.
And I think the media will, if he wins tonight, tomorrow, whenever, the media will make him into the next Barack Obama. or the next yeah. Bernie Sanders, really. Uh-huh. The really radical person. Somebody will make the case that because he can win in New York City with millions of people and diverse ethnicities and all these other things, he can win the White House. I guarantee you.
Unite the country.
Somebody will push. He will win tonight, tomorrow, whatever, and somebody will try to say that he should run in 2028.
Yep.
Next story. That's enough New York mayor stuff.
let's do this, because President Trump, in addition to telling people to vote for Cuomo, he's also out there pitching for really any Republican running for office today or in the not
too distant future. Although Cuomo's not a Republican, he's an independent.
Correct. Thank you. In addition to supporting Cuomo, somehow, some way, Trump wants people to vote Republican in these and future elections. Clip one.
Pieces are still in play. They're very close, including governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and the legislature is all up and vote Republican. And, you know, just if I just cover one subject, your energy prices will go way down as opposed to your energy prices going through the roof. But they're going to raise your taxes and the crime will be rampant. The crime will be totally horrible. They'll be protecting the violent perpetrators. They'll be protecting the violent people that caused the crime.
That was President Trump telling people to vote Republican.
Right. Well, he's a Republican, so no surprise there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And really, it's not a lot going on today except for Virginia and New Jersey and New York.
Correct. There are some down-ballot things in
what
various
are they,
places. Well, I know from Debbie Wethnow of iVoter Guide, right, which is now part of the AFA family. Debbie was on Washington Watch last week with Tony Perkins. I think it was Jody Heiss hosting that day. And she was talking about how there were some school board elections in various parts of the country. There's also a lot of ballot referendums. And we're going to be covering this tonight, Lord willing, on AFN. Where
think
we're going
to
be
Lord
talking
willing?
About. Well, if the Lord tarries and we cover the news
Terry?
Tonight. Yes. We're going to be covering.
I'm just picking on Brother Chris
yeah,
here. I know what you're saying.
You're
go ahead.
On his toes.
You do whatever you want to as long as I remain gainfully employed.
And you get a paycheck and
I have
family.
Three people depending on me to
right,
eat.
I got
so,
you.
Okay.
I got some down. It's election day.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm anxious to see what happens with the attorney general post in Virginia.
Yeah.
This is the Jay Jones running for the Democrats. He is still on the ballot, and he's the guy that talked about putting a bullet in the head of his political enemy back there several months ago. Mm-hmm. Just terrible things. And Jason Mieres is the current attorney general, and I'm told the latest polling actually puts it pretty close.
Yeah.
So I'm very anxious to see that. Mieres is a great guy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if the Republican continues to hold this office because you may have a situation where you have a Democrat in the governor's mansion wanting to do certain stuff that the Republican attorney general doesn't want to go to court to defend.
Yeah. So we'll be watching that.
Okay. All right. Hey, the government's still shut down.
Yeah, this is a story I've been waiting to get to right here.
That's what I'm here for,
I
sir.
I can't get enough of this government shutdown story.
Yes.
Chris.
And as in the case for the last 3 weeks, Democrats and Republicans continue to point the finger at one another for the government shutdown.
Who's going
to
blink?
To be honest with you, I think Democrats are going to cave because the scuttlebutt has been for the last few days, really the last week or so, is supposedly Democrats are wanting to get through Election Day today to get the Mamdani in there, to get Abigail Spanberger, talk about the future, vote for us in the midterms, and then they'll cave on the government shutdown. I could be wrong. Wouldn't be the first time.
Take us back in memory lane here. The last shutdown that I can remember that I was around for was in 2015 or 16. I can't. I was on my honeymoon. Okay.
Yeah.
I was on my honeymoon, and we've got.
This would upset anybody.
That's right.
If a right. government shutdown happened on your honeymoon.
I know St. Lucia on our honeymoon, and right. I got the message on my phone that the government was shut down.
Right.
And I just remember how the entire time it was the Republicans' fault.
Yeah.
They were
the Republicans sort of did get blamed for that one, I think, if I remember correctly. But go ahead.
And Trump was the last man standing on that government shutdown. He was trying to live on principle. We were behind. But we've got that compared to what we have here. Now, Trump was in office then, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Go ahead.
There's two things here going on here that we the SNAP program.
Yes.
Well, what is that short for, that acronym?
Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Okay. Food stamps.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Correct.
What we used to call food stamps, which is called SNAP today. Fred, that is set to run out of money.
Yeah, right? as of last Saturday, actually.
So what's going on with that?
Well, what has happened is last Friday, two Barack Obama appointed federal judges told the Trump administration, you have to come up with the money to make sure that these 40 or 41 million Americans get their EBT cards filled up. So what has happened in the meantime, in the last 48 hours, is that the Trump administration says, we have enough to pay the recipients half of what they normally get. Now, believe it or not, folks, this program, this EBT SNAP program, costs the taxpayers of America $8 billion a month. $8 billion a month. Trump says, we've got about $4.5 billion sitting in a particular fund. We can do this. So they're agreeing to do this. Now, it doesn't mean those cards are going to get filled up with that money today. It takes some doing to figure out who gets what. But that is the compromise that's there. The other news that I heard this morning on the shutdown front, and Senator Ted Cruz of Texas was being interviewed. He was asked, are there conversations going on in the background? And he said, yes, there are some conversations going on in the background, cooler heads, that perhaps once we get through the election day today, get the results, that there'll be a coming together of some sort and we'll get the government back up and going. Because things are getting serious. If you're traveling by air right now, it is doubtful either your flight could be delayed or canceled completely. It's because the air traffic controllers are not being paid. Mm-hmm. They had their last paycheck.
Neither are the TSA workers.
That's right. It's getting really dicey there.
How long can you go without a paycheck? And I don't understand. Listen, I don't understand how you can compel somebody to go to work without giving them a paycheck. That sounds fundamentally unfair to me, but that's the situation with the...
They're being asked. They can't be forced.
Oh, they're being asked.
They're being asked, will you please show
up? So we got volunteers for TSA agents?
Yes. I was not this person that was pulled over, but during one of our recent shutdowns, a lot of people joked, well, great, I can do 55 now on the Natchez Trace instead of 50. No, they were still pulling people over voluntarily. Yeah.
So what can end the shutdown?
Well, somebody will have to cave or a compromise will have to take place. But
let's go both sides. What if it was a Democrat? What if Democrats are giving up, so to speak?
Well, they would. All right. I'm going to let Fred tell this because I'll get into a word salad if I start trying to describe
this. Well, the Democrats have said that they're not supporting the continuing resolution because they want guarantees that the Joe Biden COVID subsidies for Obamacare will continue.
Okay.
Which were meant to be temporary.
Yes. However, they're not, believe it or not, they're not being completely honest. They want a whole lot more than that.
Right.
They're talking about the subsidies, and they're talking about SNAP, you know, kids going hungry, et cetera. They want to restore funding to NPR,
yep.
National Public Radio. They want to restore funding to all of these agencies out there, these government agencies all over the world that get supplements from the government. They want, we are told, about $1.5 trillion in renewed spending that was cut out in the big, beautiful bill. So that's what it's about. But I think they're going to give in on this, and yeah. I think you're going to
don't
see
we have it. We have some Democrat influencers that have said that the Democrats need to give in, don't we?
Well, I don't know about an influencer, but I know the head of the biggest government worker union basically said, y'all need to quit fighting, come back to work, get the clean CR, and figure this out once you're back open. For the government union head to be saying that, it's basically saying Democrats give it up. And even Barack Obama, during one of the shutdowns in his administration, had talked about how this is what elections are for. So really, this is a midterm election issue, not something in 2025. Hmm.
I wonder what's going to happen, though, if the SNAP program runs out of money.
People will have to go to work.
Well, yeah, or they'll go on a theft rampage.
Yeah. Some of them do already work, but, yeah, it's going to be problems.
Yeah. Well, they'll probably, yeah, well, I said this a month ago. I said they'll probably get this worked out in the next week, but who knows? We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today, again, is Tuesday, November the 4th. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Chris, and we're all in studio here, and joining us now is Todd Nettleton. Todd is host of Voice of the Martyrs, heard Sundays at 10 a.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio, and Todd joins us, I think, from Oklahoma, but I'm not exactly sure. Todd, good morning to you.
Good morning, yes, from Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Yes, and Voice of the Martyrs, said that's been your home base for how many years?
I believe we moved here in 1991, so quite a while, since before I started working here.
I got you. You're north of Tulsa, right? Isn't that right, or somewhere?
Yep, that's correct. Just 45 miles north of Tulsa.
Gotcha. Well, Todd, thanks for being on with us. Tell us about the mission. Before we get into the story about Nigeria, I know many people listening to me right now are familiar with your ministry, Voice of the Martyrs, and hear your radio program Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. here on American Family Radio, and also carried in a podcast. But tell our listeners what the overall mission is of Voice of the Martyrs.
The ministry of Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry to serve and help persecuted Christians in more than 70 countries around the world where they regularly face persecution for following Jesus Christ. And the other part of our mission is to tell their stories to American Christians so that we know what's going on, so that we can honor the scriptural command that when one part of the body suffers, we're all supposed to feel that pain, and also so that we can be encouraged. As we see the faithfulness and the boldness of brothers and sisters in China and Iran and Nigeria, we can be encouraged and hopefully challenged to be faithful and bold right where we live.
All right, tell us about what's happening in Nigeria.
Big development about Nigeria over the weekend. On Friday, President Trump posted to social media that he was designating Nigeria as a country of particular concern on the area of religious freedom. And that is something that typically the State Department issues those designations. But in this case, the president did it through social media. What that means is it basically gives the U.S. government a toolbox of things, both carrots and sticks, that they can use to try to nudge a foreign government to provide better protection for religious minorities in their country. And so this kind of opens the door. And then over the weekend, the president posted another post about possibly using U.S. military troops to provide protection for Christians or to go after some of the terrorist groups in Nigeria that are persecuting Christians. That, you know, there's a lot of talk about that. That certainly got the attention of the Nigerian government. We'll see what that looks like in the months to come. But I think the biggest takeaway is simply that, hey, our brothers and sisters in Nigeria are suffering, and the U.S. government is now paying attention to that.
It's more than persecution, folks. This is savagery of what's going on with the Christians in Nigeria. They're being hunted down and butchered, and so who is doing this to the Christians?
That's the interesting part of this, because the CPC designation really is about the government of Nigeria. Typically, the persecution that's happening in Nigeria is coming from usually one of three groups. So one is Boko Haram. We have probably heard about them. They, several years ago, pledged allegiance to ISIS. They want a Islamic state in the northern part of Nigeria. They want Sharia law. That's one group. The other is Islamic State, West Africa province. They are definitely a part of ISIS. And the other is Islamists from among the Fulani tribe. Now, not all Fulani are Islamists. In fact, there are a number of Fulani Christians now, but there are Islamists from among the Fulani tribe that specifically target Christians. And this is typically in the northern part of Nigeria. That's another part of this story to understand. Nigeria, population-wise, is split fairly evenly between Christians and Muslims, but the north is predominantly Muslim. The south part of the country is predominantly Christian. So in the south, you have megachurches that are operating very similar to how maybe your church operates this Sunday. They're having large gatherings. They're meeting. They're singing hymns. It is safe for them. In the north, you have pastors being targeted and killed. Same country, but very different setting for Christians, depending geographically where you are the country.
Yeah, seems to me, and I'm not speaking for you. You can speak for yourself on this, Todd. Seems to me this is the same old story. There, radical Muslims want to kill Christians to purge the earth of the infidel. Okay, that's a driving force for much of the terrorism around the world. Quite frankly, go ahead.
It is definitely there is an aspect of that there, you know, as you look at the violence there is also sometimes ethnic and tribal animosity.
Sure.
That plays
yeah.
into it. There is, you know, land there's conflict sometimes between people who want to farm the land and people who want to graze cattle on the land. But when you see a village that's been attacked and you go and we've had some of our staff that will go to the village after the attack, and you're like, okay, that house was burned down. It belonged to a Christian. The house right next door is still standing. It belonged to a Muslim.
Right.
It's like, well, wait a minute. That's not farmers versus herders. That is Christian persecution, because all the Christian houses got burned down and the Muslim houses are still standing.
Hey, what are the top three countries in the world that Voice of the Martyr, do you guys rank persecution for Christians in terms of the worst places? Or do you do anything like that? Go ahead.
You know, we don't do a ranking,
right?
Because we feel like our mission is to serve persecuted Christians, regardless of where or regardless of how many other Christians in their country have been persecuted. I think when you talk about the toughest places to be a Christian, you have to think about North Korea. You have to think now about Afghanistan with the Taliban back in control there. I think certainly we would think of Iran. There are lots of Christians in Iran, but they are certainly paying a high price for that. Somalia is a very difficult place to be a Christian, Eritrea. But we don't publish top 50 or bottom 50, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. So you do talk to people on the ground in Nigeria?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like weekly, daily? How often do you communicate with them?
I don't necessarily communicate with them directly all the time, but we have staff that oversee that part of the world that
gotcha.
Are in communication every week with our team on the ground there.
All right, Todd. Todd Nettleton, host of Voice of the Martyrs, heard Sundays at 10 a.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. How can people get in touch with you guys, follow you guys, that kind of thing?
Persecution.com is the main Voice of the Martyrs website. It's an easy one to remember, Persecution.com. We can connect you up there with our free monthly magazine. We can also connect you with the podcast, and would love to have you come. And, you know, our goal is to help you know what's happening with the body of Christ, to help you be able to pray effectively for persecuted Christians in Nigeria and in other places around the world.
All right, Todd, thanks for joining us. We will pray for your ministry, and thank you for being on with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, that's Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs in Bartlesville. That's where Bartlesville, Oklahoma, is their international headquarters, I guess you could say. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. All I would do is ask people to pray for the Christians in Nigeria specifically.
Yeah,
because it is bad. You can read about it. It's bad. You know, we think we have problems here sometimes in the U.S. and in Canada and other places, and they are real in terms of our religious freedoms and our rights. But these folks in Nigeria, like, live where the Christians there live, you know, thinking they might lose their house or their family. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And just murdered.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of thing. All right, next story, Chris.
Well,
wait, hold on. Before you do that, Chris, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley, share your story. You shared devotion this morning.
I was going to, but also, do we need to tease it and do it another later? And
now? Do it now.
Now's it. Okay, here we go.
Tell people the backdrop and what happened here.
So the reason you didn't hear my voice last week on American Family Radio on Today's Issues is because I was traveling with a work event. We took 200 of our listeners and our supporters to the Ark Encounter and to the Creation Museum. And we spent 2 full days together, early mornings, late nights, and 2 full days. And while I was there, I got to meet several, as I mentioned, I met, out of the 200, I probably shook hands with probably half during that time period. And one of the testimonies that was given to me amongst many testimonies was a testimony from Kate. I won't give her last name or where she's located, because she, although I'm friends with her now and I know her and her husband Ron, who's a really good friend now, she shared with me while we were there that she I'm pretty sure I got all these details right, prostate cancer, and she went in and the doctor
pancreatic cancer.
She had pancreatic cancer, and she said, I went to the doctor. They all but said, you're not going to live. It would take a miracle, but we're going to go through with what's the last procedure possible. They went in, and they were taking out her intestines, and they saved just the right amount. They were able to save just the right amount that with all of the medication and with time, there would be a small chance that she would live. So basically, they went in with no chance to come out with a small chance. She spends 108 days in the hospital, all the while the doctor's saying, you are a miracle that you've made it this far. 108 days in the hospital, and she has to take a lot of different medications. Well, while she was in the hospital, there were obviously, in her recovery, there were days where she couldn't sleep, and she's rolling around, and nights become days, and days become nights. And she told me that when she was telling me her this testimony, she said, and you know what got me through? Do you know what got me through? I said, no, ma'am. She said, the AFR, being able to listen to AFR and JJ's radio program in the morning, she said, but even more so, at 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep and I was miserable and rolling around in the bed in the hospital, it was Pastor Joseph Parker's Hour of Intercessors radio program at 3 a.m. in the morning that impacted her and helped her get through that long period in the hospital. And then, of course, she recovers. She spends about 8 or 9 years. The last 8 or 9 years, she didn't travel, didn't go anywhere. She went home. From home to picking up her groceries, very localized, home-based oriented, because of all the implications of her surgery,
right,
and the medication, all that. Then her first trip, she was out of the house and traveling, was at the Ark Encounter with us 9 years after that. So she's a walking miracle,
wow.
And because of our listeners, our supporters, funding, and
helping us do the work we do. We're able to provide a 3 a.m. radio program from our own. That's our own radio.
Amen. So, Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker airs at 3 a.m. Central Time.
That's right. And her name's Kate.
Kate. What a story. What a testimony. So she's a walking miracle.
She is. And she told us that herself. She said, I'm a walking miracle. And she was just glowing, too. By the way, she mentioned, she didn't mention it. I found this story out after talking with her a couple of different times. My point is, I wouldn't have known all of the impact that they, and there's so many like that testimonies that we just don't know the impact that we're having.
Yeah. Well, this is all possible because people listening to us right now who make financial donations to American Family Radio help us broadcast across the country and reach people like Kate.
And funny, at the end of one of our conversations, I talked with her and her husband. I talked with them several times. She said, "You know what? This is going so well. I may go to Israel with y'all." there she is.
Love to have her. Yeah.
That's
love
the
to
picture
have her.
Right there. That's Kate. I'm showing the radio.
Yeah. Right, what we're talking about is a couple that Wesley met at the Ark Encounter last week. Was it last week?
That's right. We were up there Thursday and Friday.
That's Ken Ham's Answers in Genesis project.
We went to the Creation Museum on Thursday. We went to the Ark Encounter on Friday. Thursday night, we had Dr. Faulkner come by. He talked about the North Star, Christmas Star. And then on Friday, we had Dr. Purdom. She came in and helped us explain why we can trust the Bible as being God's word.
I've talked to her a lot.
Yep. Yeah. Great. By the way, let me plug them. They are Chick-fil-A on steroids as it relates to their customer service and organization. Mm-hmm. I highly encourage you if you're in the vicinity to go check out their facilities, and obviously the biblical evidence that they provide is phenomenal. You get a great experience. It's done at top class, and we'll be going. I'm pretty sure we don't have dates yet, but I'm pretty sure we'll be going next year, like we did this year. So,
when you go, you've been 3 years, 4 years,
3 years in a row.
So you open it up to people who want to.
Listeners right now.
Listeners, yeah. Okay. So you'll announce when that's open?
We'll announce.
Because I know you sell out like months in advance.
We did. Yeah. And
how many do you take? 200 total?
Each year we added a bus of 50, but we're capped out at 200. 200 is the most we'll take, and we've filled that up. We took 200, which is four buses. That gives Tony Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and myself the opportunity to meet everybody. Anything more than that, it becomes...
Right.
It's not as a personable.
Pain in the neck.
It's not as personable. That's how I say it.
I didn't say it. No, that's not true.
A lot of people, though. Yeah,
that's a lot of people. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Fred, anything you want to say?
I love radio.
Yeah.
Amen.
I love how the Lord is using radio to reach hearts all over the world. We get the testimonies during Share-a-thon. Mm-hmm. You can have a radio in a jail cell.
Yeah.
You can have a radio in a hospital room. Mm-hmm. You can have a radio on that 18-wheeler truck driver going across the country. They drive a lot at night. They have a radio on. We get all of these testimonies. Yeah. TV is powerful, but radio gets places where TV can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the wonderful part about American Family Radio now, you can take it all over the world.
Yeah.
You don't.
The app's been a game changer.
Take it all over the world, folks. And it's ministering the programs that we have in American Family Radio. We do information programming, obviously. We have great preaching programs. We've got a program Monday through Friday gives financial advice. I mean, we've got this huge menu.
Yeah.
Exploring the Word, you know, it's there for you. All you have to do is press the button, turn it on your cell phone, whatever the case may be. American Family Radio is there for you. God is using it in a powerful way. Love that testimony.
Amen.
One of the first people that I really got to listening to after starting here, I was listening to Dr. Adrian Rogers on the way home, and I really got into it. And I was like, man, this guy's great. And for people who don't know my story, I didn't become a Christian until I was 28 years old. So, you know, All this was new to me. After I got saved, started working here and all that stuff. But anyway, I'm listening to Adrian Rogers, you know, in his big booming voice, which I can't do justice to, obviously. But I got into listening to his show, and then I'm watching television with my father-in-law one day, and he puts it on one of his sermons, and I'm like, oh, I love this guy. I listen to his shows all the time. And my father-in-law goes, yeah, it was a sad day when he left us. And I had no idea. I think I was like the last person that knew Pastor Rogers had gone home to be with the Lord. But nonetheless, we do have what I'm trying to say is even people that have gone home to be with Jesus and we're still airing their stuff, they're still having an impact.
That's right.
On this side of eternity. And it touched my heart. And I don't
know
why.
The radio.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR Next Story. Chris.
All right. So this is probably the beginning of a discussion that may carry over after the break. So stay tuned to this program for more on this. But in recent days, Tucker Carlson had a conversation with a man that many consider to be an anti-Semite, Nick Fuentes. They mocked Christians like Mike Huckabee and Senator Ted Cruz, who support Israel's right to its land and existence. For example, they claimed Christian Zionists are, quote, seized by a brain virus, and that their beliefs are, quote, Christian heresy. Somebody that didn't care for this one iota was Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, friend of this program. Tony wrote an op-ed blasting this conversation. The headline is Tucker Carlson's mockery and God's irrevocable, I can't say this word, irrevocable call. So Tony is one person right out there, and to be honest with you, there's a lot of people blasting Tony Tucker Carlson for this segment.
Not Tony Tucker.
Yes.
Emphasize there.
Okay, so we talked about this at our meeting this morning, preparing to do the radio show, our staff meeting, our guys in this room. We discussed this issue. First, let me say, I was a big fan, and I think everybody in here was, of Tucker Carlson during his Fox News days.
Yes.
He was outstanding as a journalist and as a talk show host on Fox News. He had one of the highest rated programs there, right?
Yep, evening show.
And then he and Fox News got crossways. I don't know what happened exactly there, but he left. Pardon me. He left there and started his own podcast, right?
Yes.
And then he started to do some things that I thought, and a lot of people thought, what is he doing? What is Tucker doing? What is he saying? Of course, he's a highly intelligent man. He speaks for himself, and he knows full well in other words, his thinking is thought out. Can I say that in that way? So, and then he started interviewing people like these brothers, these Tate brothers. And I'm going, what's the value of this interview right here? Didn't he interview the Iranian leader?
Yeah.
The Iranian leader. And I don't know. But the main thing that's developed in the last week or so is Tucker saying, do you have his quote? He doesn't believe in, quote, Christian Zionism.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That he believes that God doesn't have a covenant with the Jews any longer.
Right. Now, I'll
have I got that right?
You do have that right. I will say this, just a caveat. We're not implying or saying that interviewing people of opposing views is the ultimate problem here. I want to be careful that we don't do that.
I agree with that, although there are lines.
Sure, there are lines.
Yeah.
But it's the propagandizing of issues. And it's not giving the full story of it. And it, does that make sense?
Yeah, let's go over
to Fred.
You
want to help me out here?
Yeah, go ahead, Fred, because explain what's going on there with Tucker.
Well, he was doing this interview with this Nick Fuentes. We reviewed a little bit of what Nick Fuentes says on the air. He's a racist. He's a Holocaust denier.
It's awful.
All of those things. Where a lot of people are taking issue with Tucker Carlson is Tucker Carlson did not push back when Nick Fuentes was saying these things.
It was like Tucker agreed with him?
That's the issue here. that people are upset. Yep. You know, this guy claimed Christian Zionists are seized by a brain virus and that their beliefs are Christian heresy.
Who said that?
Well, this is what came up in this interview. Tucker Carlson is being criticized because he didn't push back against that. And that's where this is.
Why would you have this fellow on your show in the first place?
That's right. The thing. You know, I agree with Wesley. You can have people that you can have disagreements about. But when it goes to this extent that this Fuentes guy goes, why give him a platform?
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to give him a platform, you got to vehemently disagree with him on the air to show that you don't agree with him.
And this didn't happen.
Not lob softballs.
Right.
That's it exactly. Our good friend Tony Perkins has done an editorial on this. And basically, Tony, being a Baptist pastor, among other things, goes to Scripture. He goes to Romans chapters 10 and 11. Where the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said, wait a minute, you Gentiles, don't you start thinking that God is through with the Jewish people, because that would be the breaking of the Abrahamic covenant. And Tony said, if God broke his covenant with the Jewish people, if he broke the Abrahamic covenant, maybe God can break his promise to you when it comes to salvation. That's the issue here. That people are, and that's why we have to fight this anti-Semitism. We have to fight this idea that God is through with
the Jewish people. Is this called replacement theology?
Yes, in many quarters.
It's in that sphere.
Huh?
It's in that sphere.
It's in that sphere that God is through with the Jewish people and that the church has replaced the Jewish people in Israel. And Tony Perkins and others are saying that is simply not true.
But Tucker Carlson is saying if you believe that the Abrahamic covenant still exists today, that you have a brain virus.
Yes. And he calls it Christian heresy to believe that.
And he called out Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee, didn't he? By name.
Yes.
He did more than call them out. He's just being ugly and mean. Yeah. Unnecessarily.
Tucker was?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he gets mad, he lashes.
Yeah.
Tucker, this is interesting because Tucker Carlson has been front and center in the conservative movement for decades.
Long time.
And
he had that show with Carville back in the day.
Yeah, now here we are. He's closely aligned with Turning Point USA, too. All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.